This is Precepts Audio Message PA-295. Nathan C. Johnson, Bible Teacher. For all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in truth.
Our study of angels. So we are going to study angels in the Scriptures. And both the Hebrew word melach and the Greek word angelos are the words we're going to look at, because of course we have our English translations, but what we really want to know is what God has said when he uses these words melach and angelos. Now, these are words, and we use the word angel to mean a heavenly being, or a certain heavenly race of beings, is generally how we use the word angel. But both these words in Hebrew and Greek are actually words that mean something. They're not just the name of a race. And what they mean is a messenger. Now, I don't know what we call angels, what they call themselves. They probably have a name for themselves. The Bible really doesn't give us a name. It just calls them the messengers. In one place it calls them sons of God, or a couple places it calls them the sons of God. But what I don't know that that's a name for race either. It's probably, again, a job that they do. So our calling them the angels is kind of like if we would talk about a race of beings that deliver the mail as the postman race. Well, it's not really a race of beings, it's a job, and the same thing's true of a messenger. When we describe angels as messengers, we're really describing them by the job they do. I think the same thing if we were to call them sons of God. So what we do often see them doing, though, is we see them bearing messages from God or acting as God's agents to bring, if not messages, then help and so forth to people. Now, when we come to a study of the biblical concept of angels, we're probably thinking of heavenly ones, heavenly messengers. Yeah, when we see how this word is actually used in Scripture, we can learn that this race is, or this word is also used of men, of human beings who are messengers, and not just of a heavenly race that acts as messengers. So there are human angels as well as heavenly angels, because again, angel is not the word for a race of beings. Angel is a word for a job. And so we'll see that that word is used of human beings. However, our translators will often wave the magic wand of translation and make it go away in those cases. But we will see what we can see about both heavenly and earthly messengers. Now, first of all, let's look at angels in the Old Testament. And so we'll look through the occurrences of this word malach. And that's spelled M-A-L. And then he put an apostrophe that stands in for an untranslatable letter. And then he put AK. If you've ever seen in some Hebrew words, there'll be an apostrophe. And what that means is that there are a couple letters in Hebrew that don't really translate into anything in English. There are letters, but we don't have really an English equivalent. So you just put an apostrophe to show there's an untranslatable letter there. So if we spell it, we'd spell it M-A-L apostrophe A-K, or you could leave the apostrophe off and just ignore the untranslatable letter and just spell it M-A-L-A-K. Now if instead of a K you made it C-H and added an I on the end, which stands for my, possessive, you would have Malachi, name of a book in the Old Testament. Book of Malachi means my messenger, and Malachi is an angel, of course a human angel. But how is this word, melech, used in the Old Testament? Well, first of all, it's used for the most important angel of all, and that is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is the very first angel we encounter in Scripture. And this particular messenger appears to be more than just another heavenly being. And I would suggest that this angel, the angel of the Lord, appears to be a form of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus Christ is the messenger of God, and that he is God himself in human form. And of course, before he was became a man, before he was incarnated in human form, he still would appear. He still was the Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. He didn't come into existence when he was born to Mary in the stable in Bethlehem, or even when he was conceived in her womb. He was in existence in the beginning. So he appears often in the Old Testament. I think one of the names he's called is the Angel of the Lord. And again, this is the first angel we read about in Genesis chapter 16. Now in Genesis chapter 16, Sarai, Abram's wife, had failed to have children. And they were getting old. I think Abraham was, perhaps, I don't remember the exact ages, but something like 70 here, and she's 60, and she's been trying for many years, hasn't had a child. And according to the code of Hammurabi, which was the law code at the time, if a woman failed to have a child to be an heir to carry on the family line, which was very important to them at the time, because your family, your house was all important, well, if the wife could suggest to the husband that he could sleep with her maid or one of her servants, and that servant could have a child, and then that child would be counted as the heir to the family. But according to the code of Hammurabi, it had to be the wife who suggested this. So Sarai, according to the customs and the culture of her time, suggests to Abram this plan, that he would go into her maid, and Abram did it. But when Hagar, the maid, conceived, she despised Sarai because she figured, well, that shows it was Sarai's fault. She couldn't have children. She despises her because she easily has a child with Abram. Well, when Sarai sees she's despised by the maid, she doesn't like it. And as often happens when people make their bed, they don't like to lie in it. Sarai doesn't like her bed. And so what does she do? She blames Abram. It's all his fault. He says, to my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And this is something we see a lot of people say in the Old Testament, the Lord judge between me and thee. I often amuse myself by wondering if they would really like the judgment if the Lord actually would do that. I mean, what would Abraham say to Sarai? She says, let him judge between you and me. She thinks it's all Abraham's fault, and she is in the clear. Was that really what the Lord would say? Somehow I doubt it. So I notice all the people who say, the Lord judge between me and you, I always tend to think they wouldn't like it if he actually did. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. So she mistreated Hagar, and so Hagar fled. And verse 7 tells us, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. So she is on the way to Shur. And Bullinger suggests that this word means wall, and it was the nearest way to her native land. She was an Egyptian who was Sarah's handmaid, remember? So she was fleeing back toward Egypt. He says, Shur was the name of the great fortified wall shutting Egypt off from Palestine. So she was heading back for Egypt, and the angel of the Lord finds her. Verse 8, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah, or Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So the angel of the Lord speaks to her, and he gives her this message. He tells her to go back to her mistress Sarai, to submit herself to her in spite of mistreatment. And he gives her this promise. Her seed is going to be multiplied. Her son is going to be named Ishmael. She is supposed to call him Ishmael. and he predicts what he's going to be like. But notice that what this calls the angel of the Lord says to her, I will multiply your seed. He says, I will do it. And as we read in the Old Testament, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, we see him say, thus saith the Lord, and then he quotes the Lord. But notice this angel of the Lord doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, and then tell her this message. No, he says it as if it's his own message. He says, I will multiply your seed, acting like he is the Lord. And then notice verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? So notice it says that the Lord spoke with her. So what it calls the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, here it called the angel of the Lord, up in verse 7, verse 9, 10, and 11. So it calls him the angel of the Lord first, but then in verse 13, it just calls him the Lord. And she seems to say, I here saw the one who saw me. So she seems to think that what she's seen actually is the Lord. So right here in the very first appearance of the angel of the Lord, we see that the angel of the Lord and the Lord are identified together. So the angel of the Lord appears to be, like I said, pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, the angel of the Lord appears twice more in Genesis. We have Genesis chapter 22, when God spoke to Abraham and told him to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell thee of. And so Abraham did it. He obeyed the Lord. He went to the mountain. He bound Isaac. He put him on the altar, laid the wood on the altar, laid Isaac on the wood, stretched out his hand and took the knife. And then verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So notice here it calls him the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord says, you didn't withhold your only son from me. From who? From an angel? No, from the Lord himself. Then verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So again here we see it calls him the angel of the Lord, but he speaks, he doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, like the prophets do. He speaks, and he simply speaks for the Lord. Because I believe the angel of the Lord is the Lord. He is the Lord's mouthpiece, he's the Lord in human form. Or in physical form, I should say. Not in human form yet in the Old Testament. Now, the last time we read of the angel of the Lord in Genesis is Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. Genesis 24, verse 7. Where Abram is concerned, he doesn't want Isaac to have to marry a Canaanite. So he calls his servant. Perhaps, I would guess, Eliezer of Damascus, the one who would have been the heir if Isaac hadn't been born. His most trusted servant. And he tells him to go to the land of his birth to find a wife. But he warns him not to take Isaac there if she won't come to where he is. Because he says in Genesis 24:7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So he says, the Lord will send his angel. And the servant, Eliezer, or whoever it was, in verse 40, repeats that. He, Abraham, said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of thy kindred, and of my father's house. So the Lord God sent his angel. The Lord sent his angel. Well, I would say that the Lord's angel is the angel of the Lord. It's the same thing. So the angel of the Lord went with Eliezer, went before him to Abraham's home to find a wife for Isaac, who was not a Canaanite, and of course found for him Rebekah. Book of Exodus. We see the angel of the Lord once in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, where we read, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that is unto Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So notice here that what it calls the angel of the Lord in verse 2, it calls the Lord and it calls God in verse 4. So once again we see that the angel of the Lord is the Lord and is God. Then we have the angel of the Lord in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. In the story of Balaam and his donkey. Balaam has decided to go in chapter 22, verse 22. Balaam has decided to go to Balak, the king of Midian, in spite of the fact that it is not according to the Lord's will. God didn't tell him to go. So verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat in his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee, and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So here we see him called the angel of the Lord throughout. And he says, the word I will give you, that you will speak. Well, in 23, God met Balaam. 23:4, 23:5, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. So it calls him the angel of the Lord in the story of the donkey that talked in verse chapter 22. Then he says, I'll give you a word to speak. But then in chapter 23, it's God and the Lord who gives him a word to speak. So we see he appears in physical form and it calls him the angel of the Lord. but then it's closely identified with the Lord. We think the angel of the Lord is the Lord. It's Jesus Christ, God in physical form. Then in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 2, Judges chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "And an angel of the Lord," but this would probably more properly be "the angel of the Lord," "the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I made you go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swore unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you.' And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept." So here it is the angel of the Lord that accuses them of their disobedience. But notice that the angel of the Lord speaks, and he doesn't say, as the prophets always do, "Thus saith the Lord." He just says, "I made you go up out of Egypt. I swear to your fathers. I said." So without prefacing it that this is what the Lord says, he just speaks for the Lord. And so we take this to be the messenger of the Lord. This is Jesus Christ, God in human form. Judges 5:23, we get again have the angel of the Lord. This is in the Song of Deborah and Barak. And in the Song of Deborah and Barak, Judges 5:23, it says, "Curse ye Merah," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." So here in this song, they are blessing the Israelites and the Israelite tribes who came to aid in the war against Sisera, and cursing those who were too timid or who didn't care to come, and one of those is Merah's. A place in Israel that didn't come to battle with Sisera. So the angel of the Lord says to curse Merah's. Well, I don't know what happened to Merah's after that, but it couldn't have been good. Then in Judges chapter 6, it is an angel of the Lord, question mark. Again, I would think it's the angel of the Lord. Comes to Joash, to Gideon. Judges 6, verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." So Gideon asked, Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press, and wine presses were generally sunk into the ground, and you actually wanted to get up in the air to thresh wheat, so this was a very cowardly thing to do. And the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. So Gideon probably feels like anything but a mighty man of valor threshing wheat in a wine press. So Gideon wants to go and bring him a gift. And he brings food and presents it to him. And in verse 20, the angel of God, so here it calls him the angel of God. "The angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, thou shalt not die." So this is, calls him an angel of the Lord, question mark, but it calls him the angel of the Lord. And then in verse 20, it calls him the angel of God. So identifying the two together, and both refer to, I believe, the pre-incarnate form of Christ. Our next occurrence is in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Our only occurrence in Samuel, 2 Samuel 24 and verses 16 and 17. This is when David had angered the Lord by numbering the Israelites, taking a census. And then the Lord said, "How would you like me to punish you? Would you like what punishment would you like?" And he said, "Shall you have 3 years of famine, or flee 3 months from your enemies, or 3 days of plague in the land?" David said to God, "I'm in a great strait. This is a really narrow place. I mean, which one I prefer of these three? That's not a great choice any way he takes it." He says, "Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sends the plague, Israel, from the morning to the time appointed, to the time of the sacrifice. But then it says, verse 16, "And when the angel..." So the Lord sent pestilence, but then in verse 16 it says, "And when the angel stretched out his hand unto Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed the people, 'It is enough, stay now thine hand.' And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, 'Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house.'" So, the angel of the Lord stands by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, which later becomes the site of the temple. David builds the temple on that very site. So this is the angel of the Lord. And it seems that the angel of the Lord is the same as the angel who was bringing the plague. But at any rate, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And there are times when it's hard to tell if the angel of the Lord is separate from another angel he's associated with, or if he's the same angel. But I would guess it's the same angel here. Then we have one in 1 Kings chapter 19. When Elijah was on the run from Jezebel, in 1 Kings 19, verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.'" And then verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.'" So the angel of the Lord comes and gives him food to strengthen him for his journey. And verse 8, "And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." So on the strength of the food the angel of the Lord gave him, he goes for 40 days. Well, that must have been some really nourishing food. If God wants to give you food that lasts for 40 days, I suppose he could do it. Then 2 Kings chapter 1, when Ahaziah has called for Elijah, sent 50 men to arrest him, and fire comes out of heaven, burns up the captain with his 50 men, sends the second captain with 50 men, Elijah calls down fire that burns them up. Then the third captain and 50 men comes down and falls down on his knees before him and begs him to spare his life. And in 2 Kings 15:1, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, 'Go down with him, be not afraid of him.' And he arose and went down with him unto the king." So it's the angel of the Lord who informs Elijah that he should go with this captain and his 50 and not call fire down on their heads. Then in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35, this is when the Assyrians have been besieging Jerusalem. And for over a couple of years, they besieged the city. But finally, in verse 35, 2 Kings 19, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, or 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." So it is the angel of the Lord who strikes down 185,000 in the army camp of the Assyrians in order to rescue Jerusalem. So again, when he destroys, it seems that it's the angel of the Lord who does it himself. And then in our English Bible section of the historical books, the last appearance of the angel of the Lord is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, which is a parallel passage with 2 Samuel 24. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 12, he's giving him the choices again, either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed by thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts in Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. So he tells him it's the angel of the Lord that's going to be destroying. So in verse 15, "And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces." So here we see, like I said, in 2 Samuel, it wasn't super clear if the destroying angel and the angel of the Lord were the same angel. But in 2 Samuel, it says David saw the angel was destroying Jerusalem. Here it says he saw the angel of the Lord having the drawn sword in his hand. It appears that the destroying angel and the angel of the Lord are the same angel. Then in verse 18, "The angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set an altar unto the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Then in verse 20, "Ornan the Jebusite turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat." Now I like this guy. His sons run and hide. He sees the angel of the Lord standing there with a drawn sword. He figures, well, if God's going to kill me, he'll kill me. But if not, I might as well go on threshing my wheat. So he goes on threshing his wheat. Well, I like that. But then verse 27, "The Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof." And then verse 30, "And David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord." So the Lord and the angel of the Lord goes back and forth, becomes a little confusing, but I believe that the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself, and he is the angel of the Lord, who he sent to destroy Jerusalem and then repented and didn't destroy it. So in the Psalms, we see the angel of the Lord in Psalm 34 and verse 7. Where David writes and he says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round them that fear him and delivereth them." So he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, David had experienced that, no doubt, many times in his life. And Jacob, all the way back in the Old Testament, called Mahanaim two camps, a place where he camped, because he saw the angels of God there, as we'll see later. And so he said, there's two camps here, there's mine and the angels. So David says, the angel of the Lord encamps with those who fear him. Then Psalm 35 and verses 5 and 6, it says, and he's speaking to those who sought David's soul. He says, verse 5, let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. So he wants the angel of the Lord to chase and persecute those who are trying to destroy him. And then, that's it for the Psalms. Then we go on to the prophets, Isaiah chapter 37. And verse 36. Now this is in Isaiah, he has a short historical section where he repeats the history of Hezekiah. So this is the same story of the siege of Jerusalem. It says, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So again, it was the angel of the Lord who killed 185,000 in the Assyrian army. Then we have the book of Zechariah and chapter 1. And verse 9, Zechariah 1:9. Zechariah just saw a man on a red horse among the myrtle trees, and behind him are red horses and speckled and white. Verse 9, then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man stood among the myrtle trees, answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. So the man that stood among the myrtle trees is called then the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. Then verse 12, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me good words and comfortable words. So here we have the angel of the Lord speaking to the Lord and the Lord answering him. So that becomes difficult, but of course we have Jesus Christ praying to his Father in the New Testament as well. And then he says, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I don't think that's any different than this. Then verse 14, so the angel had communed with me, said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they help forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith the Lord. And so he gives him the message of the Lord. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. And so forth. Then verse 19, and I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? So he sees four horns. And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And then in chapter 2 and verse 3, behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. So it's hard to tell. There's mention of an angel who talked to Zechariah, and there's mention of the angel of the Lord. And it's kind of hard to tell the difference throughout here, or even if there is a difference. But in chapter 3 of Zechariah, it's pretty clear. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So the Lord is standing there, and Joshua the high priest is standing there, and Satan is standing there. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head.
So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give these places to walk among these that stand by. So it's the angel of the Lord who oversees, who rebukes Satan, who oversees the giving of Joshua clean garments, who takes away his sin. But then he speaks and says, Thus saith the Lord. Now I showed you all those other times where the angel of the Lord just spoke in the Lord's name and didn't say, Thus saith the Lord. Here the angel of the Lord speaks and says, Thus saith the Lord. So we don't have any hard and fast rule. But I would still tend to think the angel of the Lord is the Lord, as we've seen in many other passages. Then we have the angel who talked with Zechariah, as mentioned again, not called the angel of the Lord, but called the angel who talked with Zechariah in Zechariah 4, 1 and 4 and 5. Zechariah chapter 5 and verses 5 and 10. And Zechariah 6 and verse 5. So all those mention the angel who talked with Zechariah. So is this the angel of the Lord or not? Well, I would tend to think it is the angel of the Lord. Was the angel who was talking with him. But in 12:8, Zechariah 12:8, we have it for sure. It says, In that day, and this appears to be in the climax, the end, the final battle at the end of the Great Tribulation. It says, In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. So notice that God and the angel of the Lord are put on equal footing there. To be like God and to be like the angel of the Lord is the same thing. So that makes me think that the angel of the Lord and God are the same thing. And then our last occurrence is Malachi 2 and verse 7. Now this is interesting. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now this is interesting because here we have the messenger, and again, messenger is Malak, the angel of the Lord of hosts. And here the angel, the messenger of the Lord of hosts, is the priest, not Jesus Christ himself. But this, notice it's a little different than our phrase, the angel of the Lord. It's the messenger, or the angel of the Lord of hosts. And it refers it to the priest. So we can't necessarily make a hard and fast rule about it, but again, there's a little bit different phrase there. And whenever we see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, I tend to think it is Jesus Christ himself. So the phrase, the angel of the Lord of hosts, seems to be a little different, referring to the high priest. But the angel of the Lord, I think, always refers to Jesus Christ. As far as I can tell, it does. So next we have the angel of God. The angel of God. Now again, I believe that this angel, this messenger, appears to be the messenger of God. So again, it's God in human form, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the angel of God appears first in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 17. It says, and God heard, so this is after Isaac was born, and at his weaning, Sarah saw Ishmael making fun of him, making fun of him in some way, and she was furious, and she told Abraham to cast this bondwoman and her son out, and God told Abraham to do it. So she went into the wilderness, and they ran out of water, and Ishmael was dying. And in Genesis 21:17, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God, that was that the angel of God, called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. So here it is, the angel of God. And I think it's the same angel. But Jehovah Yahweh is not only especially connected with, he's not only the personal God in relationship, but he also is the covenant God. Jehovah is often God in covenant with his people. And sometimes it's interesting because here, of course, Hagar and her son Ishmael are not Israelites. Now, I realize Israel wasn't born yet, but I always say Abraham was the first Israelite, and his son Isaac was the second, and of course then Isaac's son Israel was the third. So Ishmael, even though he's Abraham's son, is not an Israelite, nor is his mother, and it's interesting that he calls it God in connection with her rather than the Lord. But it's the angel of God who speaks to her and provides water for Ishmael. Then in Genesis chapter 31, in verse 11, Jacob is telling his family, he's griping to his family about Laban, his father-in-law, telling them why he wants to run away. And he has worked a clever scheme to grow his wealth and decrease Laban's. And even though the narrator didn't tell us so, Jacob is claiming here that it was all God's idea. Genesis 31:11, "And the angel of God spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Beth-el, where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." So he claims this is what the angel of God said to him. Now it's interesting, you know, when the narrator actually tells the story, he doesn't say anything about God or an angel telling him to do this, it just says he does it. So I always kind of wonder if I believe Jacob's story or not. Now sometimes God will give supplemental details on a later recounting of a story that wasn't there in the original story. So it's possible that Jacob really did have such a dream. But I wonder a little bit about it, whether he really did or not. But the angel of God appeared to him and claimed to be the God of Beth-el. So assuming this really is true, and this really is what God said, here we see the angel of God and God are connected. Then Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19. In Exodus 14:19, it says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." So when the Egyptians tried to chase the Israelites and catch them against the Red Sea to capture them, the angel of God who had been leading them went behind them along with the pillar of cloud and divided the camp of the Egyptians from the camp of the Israelites so the Egyptians couldn't get to them. And you think about this time, the Egyptians would decide to give up, but of course God had hardened their heart. So it's the angel of God who stands between the two camps, the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israelites, with a pillar of cloud. Then we have Judges, chapter 13. This is the story of when Samson was going to be born to a man named Manoah of the tribe of the Danites. It says in Judges 13, verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son." Then in verse 6, "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name." So she calls him, says he was like the angel of God. Then verse 9, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her." Then verse 13, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware." Verse 15, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret, or seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously," the angel whose name was Wonderful, "did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward the heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord descended in the flame of the fire of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. And the angel, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord." So here we see he's called an angel of God by Manoah's wife, and then in verse 9. But then he's called the angel of the Lord in a bunch of other passages. And notice he calls himself Wonderful, and then does in verse 18, and does wondrously in verse 19. And who else can we think of whose name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Of course, that's Jesus Christ himself. So the angel of God slash the angel of the Lord calls his name Wonderful. And we realize that that is Jesus Christ. But the angel of the Lord, the angel of God are interchangeable. And then, of course, we saw one other occurrence of the angel of God in Judges chapter 6, but we already discussed it there, so we won't look at that again. But that's the angel of God. Then we have occurrences of the angel or slash his angel. And in these cases, I think it's the angel of the Lord. Now, I gave you an earlier one a bit out of order. Got my notes a little mixed up, because the first time is in Genesis 24, when the Lord will send his angel with Abraham's servant to find a wife for Isaac from his own family, not a Canaanite. But then we have the angel or his angel. We have it in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 16. Where Jacob, in blessing his son Joseph, he says to him, "The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads," in other words, Ephraim and Manasseh, "and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So he speaks of the angel who redeemed him from all evil, and I think that angel is the angel of the Lord. Then in Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 and 23, God speaks to Moses, promises the Israelites, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." And in verse 23, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." So he speaks of sending an angel, and he calls it my angel. Well, if God speaks of my angel, if the Lord speaks of my angel, who is that but the angel of the Lord? So I think that's the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ himself. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 34. He says to Moses, "Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." So he says, my angel is going to go before you. Again, that is the angel of the Lord. He's going to go before them in spite of the sin of the golden calf. Then in Exodus 33, verse 2, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." So he's going to send an angel before him. And I think that angel, in my opinion anyway, was the angel of the Lord. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 16. Moses says, "And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border." So Moses is speaking to the king of Edom there. Tells the king of Edom, the Lord sent an angel to bring us out of Egypt. What angel was that? Well, I think it was the angel of the Lord. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 21, it speaks of the angel that destroyed the Assyrians. It says, "The Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword." So remember, in 2 Kings and in Isaiah, it called it the angel of the Lord. Here it just says, the Lord sent an angel. But since it was called the angel of the Lord in those other two passages, we would think that, yes, it's the same angel of the Lord. Then in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9, we have again a reference to an angel, but we think it's the angel of the Lord, even though it doesn't say so. Isaiah 63 and verse 9, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old." So the angel of his presence saved the Israelites. And who is the angel of God's presence? Well, he's the angel, and when this angel is present, God is present. I think that's Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4. Speaking of Jacob, says, "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Beth-El, and there he spake with us." So it speaks of the one who wrestled with Jacob and calls him the angel. Now, interestingly, it never calls him an angel in Genesis. That's why we didn't look at that story in Genesis. But here it calls the one who wrestled with Jacob by night the angel. And I would think that that is the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ himself. Then in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13, we have, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." So Haggai here is called the Lord's messenger, the Lord's angel. But clearly, even though Haggai is called the Lord's angel, this is not what we call the angel of the Lord, the divine Jesus Christ himself. It's Haggai the prophet. So Haggai is called the Lord's angel, but he is not the angel of the Lord. He's different. And then in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, I will send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the angel of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So he speaks of my angel, referring to John the Baptist, who will prepare the way before me. And then he speaks of the angel of the covenant, who will come suddenly to the temple. And of course, that's Jesus Christ, who came suddenly to the temple, unexpectedly to the temple, and drove out the money changers and so forth. And here he has the interesting title, the angel of the covenant. Well, Jesus Christ is indeed the messenger of the Lord who made the covenant with the people of Israel. So these are all the times we see the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, and the angel or his angel, the Lord's angel, so forth. Most of them, I believe, are referring to Jesus Christ himself. A few times we have these phrases, and obviously they aren't. They're referring to human beings. There are a couple phrases where, a couple of verses where they could perhaps be a heavenly messenger besides the angel of the Lord. But for the most part, we think that the angel of the Lord is the Lord in physical form, Jesus Christ himself. But we're out of time for today, and we'll have to take up from there in our next study.